You are listening to Schmimcast, a behind-the-scenes look at Improv Schmimprov, Orange County's most popular late-night improv comedy show. For the latest episodes, please visit Schmimcast.com. You can also hit us up on Twitter at the call sign Schmimcast. That's twitter.com/Schmimcast. And of course, you can always come and see Improv Schmimprov every Friday and Saturday night at 11 p.m. at the Maverick Theater in Fullerton, California. For information on upcoming shows, please visit improvschmimprov.com.
And now...
the show must go, so on with the show.
The following program contains scenes and language of a frank and explicit nature. Viewer discretion is advised.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. You are listening to Schmimcast, episode number 6. I'm your host, Nick McGee. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a fantastic guest here today. The man, the myth, the legend, the always funny, the ever clever, sometimes shocking, terribly talented. He's a musician, a comedian, an improver, and a magician because he makes you laugh, and it's magic, ladies and gentlemen. That's right. This is Mr. Ryan Clark, ladies and gentlemen of Improv Schmimprov.
Hey, what's up there, homies? Oh, I just got a text right on my balls when I said that.
It'll teach you to sit on your phone.
My balls are very popular right
yes,
now.
Yes, they are, apparently. Well, thank you, Ryan, for coming on Schmimcast and...
Did you hear that?
Opening your can of diet caffeine-free Dr. Pepper during the intro. That's
great. It's just water with black dye.
And it really essentially is. What is in there? Tell us. Take a sip.
Oh, it's crap.
I was like, we've got Sierra Mist, we've got Coke Zero, we've got bottled water, we have V8 Splash, literally everything. You pick the one thing I have one can of in there because I didn't want to drink it. I was like, I'm done. I can't drink any more of this
stuff.
I
can see why it sat in there for so long.
Yeah, yeah. It's good though, right? It's fulfilling?
No.
Not whatsoever.
It's just a waste of strength for lifting it.
Well, if you want something else, if you're not satisfied with that, there's plenty more to drink in the fridge.
Okay. Just, can we just take a break and just...
We just started, man.
I know, and I'm already thirsty.
Fine, go get something.
Well, goodbye, everyone.
All right. Well, it's nice having you on the show, Ryan.
And now the show must go.
And now the show must go. So, off with the show.
The end.
All right, well, this is episode number 7 now of Schmimcast. It's just me now. I'm hanging out here in my apartment. It's hot because I had to turn the air conditioning off.
Hey, I'm back.
Hey, Ryan's back! All right! Thank you. Nearly hunging me out to dry, man.
Yeah.
Shit. Well, Ryan, you've been a member of Schmimprov for decades now.
Right? I joined in the 30s.
When the swing was in fashion.
Yeah, and yeah. I was, you know, I met up with Nate during the Great Depression. Mm-hmm. We were both homeless.
Homeless and poor and hungry.
And we're like, hey, do you know what we should do? Some improv.
And that's where it all began.
Yeah, and then, you know, then in, you know, 2004, I really joined.
Which wasn't that long after Schmimprov got its start. I mean, we were at the Block for about a year maybe or so, and then we moved to the Chance, and I think that's about when you
were
on board, right?
Yeah, I was, I remember when I auditioned, it was, yeah, you guys were at the Chance at the time, and when I auditioned, they were really only looking for girls.
Oh, that's right, I remember that. Nah, yeah, yeah.
So it was me and Nishida that joined.
And how did you find out about the audition?
I used to go to see live nudes.
Oh my god.
Yeah, I used to go watch those shows. And then
you weren't actually even a student at UC Irvine.
No,
right?
I got kicked out of community college. So Santa Monica College deemed me not worthy enough to...
What?
Yeah, well, I...
They are the losers, ladies and gentlemen. Let me tell you, man.
I'm sure they don't miss me.
No, they lost out, man, because you are comedy gold, man.
And, yeah.
Like, not that they're looking for comedy
gold. Yeah, which doesn't really help in trigonometry.
Yeah, I guess not.
But
college isn't for everybody, right? And I've heard plenty of stories of people who dropped out of various institutions that went on to be incredibly successful people, far more successful than many people who have degrees and whatnot, so.
Yeah, you know, so now I do improv behind some train tracks.
But isn't it fun?
It is. It is very fun.
Is it fulfilling? Are you fulfilled?
Yeah, well, I'm more full right now. I'm just...
Before we started, Ryan said, I was like, how are you, Ryan? He's like, I'm full.
Oh, Chipotle. I came straight over from Chipotle. Chipotle's always a good idea, and then a bad one.
Are you one of those guys who has to, like, finish your plate? Like, I mean, that's the thing at Chipotle is it's a lot of food.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you get a, for me at least. And to finish it, I'm like stuffed by the end.
Yeah, no.
Or was it just this was the third time you've been there today?
In my family, especially my dad's side of the family, I don't know, there's an unwritten rule which was just eat your food before someone else does.
Yeah.
It's just like any.
Was it a competition?
Any family dinner is just like you'll just be eating your food. And if somebody's done that's next to you, especially my grandma, she'll just be like, you gonna eat that? And then just like. Grab food off with like just grizzly hands and just like, oh, just like, you know.
Your impression of your grandmother is like, yeah, it's horrifying.
I would give you a grandmother. She doesn't talk like that, but no, I wish. She's just a grizzly mountain man. I think we evolved awesome. From dingoes.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, but like if you get injured by the dinner table, like you'll just get devoured.
Yeah.
We will eat our own injured.
Well, that's how it works. I'm a really slow eater myself. Like I'm usually the last person in the world to finish eating it.
Yeah, well, I saw your Thanksgiving dinner right over there still not finished.
That's what happens. I take my time with things. Yeah. Trust me, it'll take a month for me to get this episode edited and online. Like,
oh, really?
I'm sorry.
So it might not sound so weird when I say, oh, it's your Thanksgiving dinner. It's like because it'll be Thanksgiving again. It'll be exactly. Like, oh, that's in 6 hours.
Precisely. But no, it won't take that long. Just don't plug anything within the next week that you're doing.
I really wanted to tell people. Like, I'll be like, playing, hey.
Are you playing Schmimprov this weekend?
Yeah, I'll be there Saturday, so you can come see the show.
Well, maybe by the time this gets posted, you will actually also be playing on that Saturday.
So wouldn't that be, amazing?
That would be a cool coincidence.
I'll just be like, hey, I'm doing Schmimprov in 2011.
As I mentioned on a previous episode, we were going to do a charity show called Let's Help Japan. Actually, when we recorded that episode, it was Let's Save Japan. And so that's what we said during the episode. And then someone got the idea to change the name.
Oh, no, it was something like the charity said they didn't like the name Save Japan.
Yeah. And I could see that, actually. But the thing was, it had been changed already once, I think. Like, it was something else other than Save Japan first. And I was like, oh, okay, well, someone was like, oh, that's not appropriate. And so they changed it to Let's Save Japan. And so I was like, okay, let's save Japan. That must be safe.
Yeah, no,
and then the charity we're helping out, apparently.
Yeah, apparently they're just like, no, we don't want them saved. If we save them, we'll be out of a job. So let's just help them and string it along forever.
I get it.
They're union.
It's a union charity.
Yeah, they're just like, don't finish the work, then we'll have no work.
It's like, come on, guys, we need jobs too.
Yeah, Japan will just be like, oh, we're saved. We don't need your charity. So, fuck off, Schmimprov.
Yeah, exactly. In the time between that podcast and today, when we're recording, we did our charity show a couple weeks ago, and it was very successful, had a lot of fun. We raised over $1,000. I think it was
like 1,200-something.
1,200-something, which is cool, and I think it's really cool considering that I don't think the audience we have is necessarily a wealthy crowd.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's mostly younger folks who need something to do on a Saturday. Friday
They're
night.
Just like, we need someone to yell dildo.
Yeah. We need something just to scream random shit.
We can't say that in the library.
But we can go to the Maverick Theater and say whatever we want.
We think they love it.
That's our audience right there. Actually, it's not all college students, but I would say maybe the majority.
There's like one guy who's 23.
There's one dude. Yeah, these guys are cool. They're funny.
Yeah.
So I'll check them out.
I could drink a beer.
Another reason I bring this up is because we had some interesting triggers during the event of that evening. We auctioned off a date with Nate, which actually seemed like a good deal, considering I think he was giving up tickets to see a play as well as dinner, as well as sex, I'm sure, if party was interested.
We're all suckers for attention.
It's, yeah.
That went for $100.
$100, yeah.
$100 to hang out with Nate.
I'm like, I can probably hang out with Nate just about any time I want to. I could just call him. Like, who would pay $100 for that? Like, no, but they get a play and a dinner and engaging conversation,
yeah,
most
sure.
likely. depending on your taste. And also A Date with Enrique, which I think went for maybe $40,
$35, $40.
It looked like it was going for like $25, and it was almost dead. And then all of a sudden, some random person in the audience who hadn't been bidding was like, $30! Yeah.
And that was to go to Del Taco to get a hand job, or no, to give a hand job. In the bathroom.
Which, again, if I called Enrique, if I wanted to go to Del Taco and give him a hand job, I don't think that would be an issue. Like, yeah. I could probably get that for free. Well, no, you had to pay for the Del Taco, so that would be very fitting. I would also have to pay for the Del Taco. And
so you had to pay $35 just to take him to Del Taco to pay for Del Taco and then give him a hand job?
Yes. When I heard it, I thought it was the other way around, where at least Enrique was paying for the Del Taco. But later on, Enrique clarified with me that, no, the person who one actually pays for everything.
So you have to pay to buy him food.
Yes. Okay. Yes. And if you're lucky, he'll get you pregnant.
Yeah. Who would ever want to be around that sperm?
Well, I don't know. There's a sperm for everyone.
Yeah.
I guess.
There's a Jack for every Jill.
Schmimcast. Oh, man. So we did all kinds of fun stuff. Like, I mean, there were prizes raffled off and weird games. And it was very fun. And then we also had a very special trigger event, which we were trying to get to the $1,000 mark. And Ryan was very much involved with this special trigger event.
This is like me not being able to afford therapy.
So you get to do it in front of an audience.
Yeah.
I guess if anybody in Schmimprov would ever be a member of Jackass, it would be you, because you were willing to, willing to do this. You offered to do this.
It was my idea. I guess I should explain it. It was called Paintball Chug It. The way it works was I had to try to chug a beer while being shot at with a paintball gun.
Oh, man. And also, you did not have any kind of protection on. Like,
I had scuba goggles.
You had glasses on, but you didn't. You were shirtless. Let's put it this way.
Yeah, no,
you were shirtless, and Enrique, who was shooting the paintball gun, didn't aim for your legs. Let's put it that way. It looked painful.
You know what? It hurt. Yeah. The hardest part for me, though, was I got scuba goggles because those were just the only glasses I could find at the time. And it really wasn't until I got on stage ready to do it that I realized they were covering my nose. So when I was trying to drink, I couldn't breathe at all.
Oh, yeah.
Which just made it like take longer. And I was just so I had to stop and take a couple breaks because I was getting shot in the lungs while trying to hold my breath.
Do you regret it? Like, are you like...
No, it was... No, I'd do it again in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to have a couple scars for them. Like,
really?
Yeah.
There's, like pretty permanent?
They're still there so far.
Yeah,
I just looks like weird ringworm all over my
torso. I'll have to put a picture up like on the website.
Of them now or from the initial?
Well, I guess from the initial because they're not like the initial pictures are so gnarly.
Yeah. It was funny. I thought of that maybe a month before the show, and I was kind of drunk, and I told Nate, I was like, hey, you know what'd be funny is if I did a paintball chug it. And I kind of thought it'd be like, no. I thought I would get a no, and he's like, yeah, you should do it. And I was like, fuck, okay. And then it really wasn't till the day of the show where I'm like buying the paintball pellets. I'm just like, fuck.
You're like, why did I think this would be a good idea?
I am an idiot.
Well, it was entertaining.
It was, and
I remember like going like, wow, he's really taking his time drinking that beer, but apparently it was because you couldn't breathe.
I couldn't breathe, and so...
That sucks.
I counted, like, 14, I think, welts after, so I got... So I don't know if the other members of Schmimprov think highly or less of me now, because they're just, oh my god, he might really have problems.
Well, you should audition for Jackass. That's what I think.
Do they hold auditions?
I don't know. That would be a perfect version.
That would just be weird. I was like, now I'll stick my dick in a mousetrap.
You should send that tape in, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's on YouTube, right?
Yeah. It's
okay. Yeah, I forget what it's called.
Just paintball chug it. Just type
it's
in
called
Ryan Clark,
paintball chug
see
it.
What
Ryan Clark.
You might
see
get
what happens. Yeah.
Footage of the Chargers. No, there's a Ryan Clark on a football team.
Is there?
I know sports.
Did you do improv before Schmimprov, or is it just something that kind of sparked interest? Like you said, you came to see live nude people at UC Irvine.
I started doing improv in high school.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, I was on a team in our high school drama department. They did there's a high school festival at Fullerton College, like the high school Fullerton Drama Festival, mm-hmm. and we put together an improv team for that. So it was the first improv team at my high school, and then it was after I graduated that they got into comedy sports and stuff.
Oh, okay. So you kind of were at the beginning of it, like there was a festival going on, and you're like, hey, we should start an improv
team. Well, I didn't say, I was recruited on that team. I was very hesitant. I was like, I don't think I could do this. I can't do improv and stuff. And then,
isn't it funny how other people are like, you're going to be good at this, I know it. And you're like, what the hell are you talking about?
And yeah. And then
when you try it, you're like, I don't think I'm good at it still.
Yeah, no, it was kind of effed up because it was this guy who was trying to put together a team to perform at the festival, and he recruited me and some other people. I really didn't think I could do it, but then we started doing improv together, and we kind of realized, oh, we're kind of funny.
Mm-hmm.
And then the guy who put the team together wasn't so much, and
interesting.
And then another team like popped up, and the guy who put the team together actually got kicked off.
and
we replaced him with a girl
because girls have boobs.
Yeah, and then we won second place, I think, that year.
Nice.
So yeah, that was the best day of my life. It's all been downhill since then. But yeah, no, the guy who put it all together got the boot.
He got canned. Poor guy.
Sorry, Tim.
Were you part of the drama department?
Yeah, I did drama in high school.
Did you always do like acting and stuff like that?
I did drama in high school. I did some in junior high. I played Puck in
Midsummer,
but that was in seventh grade. And
that's funny. I could see you could be a really funny Puck. I could totally see that. Maybe not in seventh grade, but like I could see you being Puck now, like being pretty fan funny.
Yeah, no, I around junior high, I used to watch In Living Color a lot.
Oh my god,
for Jim Carrey. I did. Like,
that show is so fucking amazing.
I loved Jim Carrey, and I used to just watch him do stuff on there. And he was, I don't know, he's very physical, and
he was amazing on that show.
I've gone back and I've watched reruns, and I'm like, not so much. But Jim Carrey was always like really funny on that show.
Right.
And
you have a similar kind of comedic physical style.
Yeah.
Like you must have been like your mother or father must have been a rubber band.
Do you know where I might have come from? I remember I used to play T-ball,
mm-hmm.
and my dad is big on playing baseball.
Nice.
I wasn't that. I'm not that good. I'm not a sports person.
You weren't that into
it. I wasn't that into it. And then one time I was a pitcher in T-ball, which is useless.
Is there really a pitcher in T-ball?
Yeah. You
stand there?
Yeah. I don't know what the purpose is. It's like having...
It's just to psych someone out. You'd be able to just stare them down.
It's about as important as... having a fire extinguisher under the sea. I don't know. But nice. I was pitcher. Someone hit a ground ball, and mm-hmm. it went right towards me, and I tried to catch it, and it popped up out of my glove and hit me in the face.
Oh.
And so I started crying, and then I sat out for the rest of the game.
Ouch.
And then I realized, oh, if I get hurt, I don't actually have to play anymore.
Nice.
So from there on out, I would just like try to fall down any opportunity I could. Like if I was like running to first and like the guy grabbed the ball and like tried to tag me out and he would hit me, I would just like fall down and just start crying. So I didn't have to play, so I could just sit out and just be like, oh sweet, you know, I did my part.
Right.
And so I think from there I just learned like I
took
should
one
just,
for the team.
I should just fall down at any opportunity that I can.
This explains a lot.
And I've realized every play I've probably ever done or been in, I've been a character who will fall down. Even when it's not required, I'll just be like, this would be a good time for this guy to fall.
Schmimcast. So, I mean, speaking of plays, you've been in several plays at the Maverick. You've been in two zombie shows, basically, right? Speaking of falling down,
I know,
and physical things, you were Johnny.
Yeah, I do Johnny
in Night of the Living Dead.
I've done that 3 years now.
That's really cool because when they first did the show, there wasn't a Johnny. Later on, a year or two after they started, Brian, the director / writer of this particular production, it was like, oh, I should add this. And then you got in, but it's brilliant. Like, how did that happen?
The way that came about was maybe the summer before the first year I did it, I think I told Brian or something. I was like, hey, if you're doing 9/11 Dead, I'd be, you know, I'd like to be a zombie extra in it. I was just like, oh, that'd be kind of fun. It wouldn't be that time consuming or blah, blah, blah. And so when they were doing auditions, I was talking to Drew, I think, and he was like, hey, auditions are, you know, this Saturday. Can you make it? I was like, no, I can't. I'm busy. And he was like, I was like, I'm free Sunday. He's like, oh, we can't do it Sunday. And he was like, well, what about Monday? And I was like, oh, I'm busy. All right. Just remember, like, Drew bending over backwards, just trying to make time for me to be able to audition. And every time that he gave me, I just had something going on. And I was just like, oh well, I guess I'm not going to do it. And then about a week later, I got a call from Eric saying, hey, we need a Johnny. Do you want to do it? And I was like, yeah, it was actually really cool because of the fact there was no Johnny. There was a Johnny in the movie, but in the movie, his whole scene takes place outside of the farmhouse. And they just don't have the luxury of building another set just for one scene.
A graveyard, basically.
Yeah, it was in a graveyard. Yeah. And so Brian basically jerry-rigged this little intro for him and got to create it. And I really got to create that part. And stuff, and I just got to do all kinds of stuff with it, and it was fun. And I don't think I'm ruining anything when I say he's the first guy to die. And
it's
it was pretty awesome.
It's very awesome. It made the intro, I don't know, feel like more of an intro. Like, actually, what before they just was just Barbara running into the house, blocking herself in, and the zombies come and attack. This is like sets up the whole thing, and you do a great job. I don't know, you just have this quality about the way you play the role that. It's perfect. It sets up the whole, like, sort of zombie-esque horror film, campy. It's not really campy, but you kind of have this sarcasm about what you do, and it's just perfect.
I think my whole thing with that character was I didn't want anybody to miss him when he died. I didn't want anybody to be like, oh, that's sad, but at the same time, I tried to make his being there as enjoyable as possible, but just going like, oh, this fucker needs to die. You know, and then I get to come back as a zombie and die again.
Yeah.
Which
is
really all I wanted to do. I just wanted to be a zombie and die. And so now I get to be kind of a dick and then die and then be a zombie and then die.
Yeah, you get to die twice. That's, who gets to do that?
Me. That's a really fun show.
I mean, I'm on a video clip in the show, and I'm usually at the very end of the show. I come in and get killed really fast, but I'm barely in it. But I like watch it all the time because it's just really a fun show to watch.
Yeah,
I mean, zombies on stage. That's great, and it's a well written dramatic.
It is, and you know, it's a really cool show for people who really aren't into theater.
Oh yeah, definitely.
I think my thing is I like being on stage, and I like having an audience. Watch whatever I'm doing, but I'm really not interested in trying to do Our Town. Are there, you know, there's so much theater out there that is just boring to me.
Definitely. I think there's a reason why people are much more drawn to the movie culture, because a lot of the theater, the normal theater, just seems very dry. And not all of it, but I don't know, for theater to be more fun and engaging, people relate to it more, it has to kind of mesh somehow. I feel like the Maverick captures that better than a lot of other places. Anybody else get. They at least Maverick gets that, whereas I don't know how much other theaters do. But
I'm not a singer, I'm not a dancer.
But you were in Zombie,
which
the musical.
Is funny that they Eric was very adamant about my.
You gotta be in my musical.
You gotta sing in that.
It's about zombies.
That show.
You don't have to sing or dance.
Oh God, I was in two numbers. That show was just so much
fun.
It was fun and stuff, but at the same time, up until maybe the day before, I was like, what the hell are we doing?
Well, we didn't have a ton of time to rehearse, so...
I remember when Eric was asking me about it, I was like, I just want to make it clear, I am not a singer, I'm not a dancer.
I totally
and stuff
remember
like
this.
That. And
and yet we had extensive vocal rehearsals.
Yeah, that's all we did was choreograph. I remember it was up to the Tuesday before the show started. I was like, should we run our scenes? have we even read the script?
Yeah,
you know, and stuff. And so I gave my character a voice that was just very.
I forgot. That's right. You did have kind of a crazy
voice. The only reason I did that voice was so I could justify not hitting notes.
Can you do your voice that you did? Like, I forget what it was.
It was like something like, oh, let's get another one.
That's right. That's right.
Hey, guys, come on. Me too. I'm a zombie. You know, but
it was
that's
very Scooby-Doo-esque, it was, yeah. Like Shaggy or something.
He was
almost.
He was kind of a just, he was like the fuck up of the group. And so,
that's right.
And he falls down too.
Yeah, yeah. Of
I made,
course.
Yeah, I made him, I made him very clumsy just so I didn't have to memorize choreography either. I was like, oh, if I make this guy very bumbly and I fuck up the choreography. it'll make sense.
You had some great bits of physical comedy in that show. Like, there, I remember the one that I remember because I was involved with it was where I smacked your hand at a certain point during one of the musical numbers, and your hand literally went all the way around 360 and smacked yourself in the face.
And then, yeah.
And you fell down.
Yeah. And then I fell down. I really want to try to pull that off at work sometime just so I can go on Workman's Comp.
There you go. You shouldn't have said that on this podcast, though.
like anyone besides me is going to hear it.
Well, you know, we do have two listeners.
I hope they're not my bosses.
And that's you and me.
And even then, I'm just tuning in and out.
Yeah. So. You're like, where's the good part? Wait a sec. Shmoocast. Since we're talking about theater and stuff you've done at the Maverick, you were also a fill-in for Billy at in Santa Claus Conquers the Martians.
Oh, that was...
A few times. Did you enjoy that?
Oh, yeah. It was fun. Like, I wish I could do it more, but I was only able to do it that one weekend. But that was a really...
Was it only one weekend you've done it?
Yeah, it was... Okay. I did three shows, okay. But it was in one weekend.
And that was not this last year, but maybe a year ago.
It was. Yeah, it was like 2 years ago or something. And that's a really funny show. I remember somebody got me that movie as a gag gift for Christmas one year, and I was like, oh my god, this is piece of shit.
Like, how old were you?
I was in my 20s. I was older, and then I found out they were doing it, so I remember the movie when I saw it, but and then I saw the show and I was like, oh, this is funny. Like, I remember there is some stuff that Nate says is Voldar that just sounds very ridiculous, but it is like verbatim.
It's literally right from the movie. Like, and, some of it is.
And you are a much more charming Santa in that show.
Oh, you think than the
well, that guy was just like drunk. That guy looked like you've seen the movie, right?
Oh yeah,
yeah. I mean, that guy is just like one drink away from exploding liver.
What do you mean your vision of Santa Claus isn't old? Like, nearly passed out.
Yeah, it is, but, you know. But, you know, I would expect something more clean cut for a movie. That movie makes no sense.
I remember when I watched it, I was just like, actually, I enjoyed the beginning. I thought, okay, it's you know, it's an older movie. Like, I don't know. I have this thing about watching movies from, you know, the older era. That's like the 60s, right? And I'm like, okay, well, you know, movies have evolved since then. Like, you know, back then, this pace of the movies were way slower and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, okay, this has a setup. But then all of a sudden, it kind of was like dropped off. And I was like, what?
Yeah.
Where is this going? Like, what the hell?
Yeah, there's just, you know, I mean, there is stuff that it like goes on in that play that just seems very ridiculous and over the top. And then if you actually see the movie, you're like, no, that is how it was in the, you know, in the movie. And but yeah, no, it's just, that is a very funny show.
Being part of it for all these years, I'm like, yes, it's very funny. But I think it's a product of the people that are in it. Like Nate is just hilarious as
Voldar. Yeah, no,
you know, and then we have like other, like even the small roles, like David Chorley is in it. He plays like one of the Martians.
They actually created Chormar, right?
Yeah, just for him, basically.
They couldn't get Droppo. Oh god, that's...
No, we cut Droppo because we thought Droppo was just like
retarded.
Yes, he was.
He's like, I'm Droppo. I don't know how to do anything right, but I'm a Martian.
Yeah,
I'll be your new Santa.
But yeah, like, I mean, everybody that is in that show is just very, very consistent. And a lot of us in the show are improvers. So Nate's an improver. Jamie's an improver. You're an improver. Yeah. I'm an improver. Like, Nate definitely does, like, almost every show he does something different.
So
you have to be ready for it. You're like, what the hell is he going to do now?
Yeah, no, I remember the year when I did it.
I remember you even threw me for a loop in our little airlock scene at some point. I was like, how do I recover from this?
Well, my my whole thing when doing that show was I remember watching it 100 times just to kind of, because I really only rehearsed one. I didn't even get a copy of the script until after it opened.
Sounds like
and so I'm like, so all my rehearsal is just watching the show,
yeah,
and memorizing as best I can, and the whole time I'm watching it going, I need to be funnier than Jamie. That's like, I need to do a better job. But I mean, Jamie does a lot of funny stuff, but at the same time, I was like,
it's
I
hard
need to
do the same thing as Jamie.
Yeah, I don't
want
to
Jamie.
Yeah, and
then
so
you guys are two totally different.
I was trying to I was trying to do different stuff that he wasn't doing.
Right, right.
But I do remember there was one line I like flubbed big time during it, and Nate just totally chewed me out as Voldar on stage, and then like read the line off and just did all this stuff. Like, he really reamed me, and at the same time I was like, it was funny, but at the same time there's that like improv part that's like, oh, I need to get him back somehow and stuff.
Right, right.
I thought of like a bunch of stuff to do afterwards, but
I know, don't you hate that?
Yeah,
you're like, oh, I could have said this, I could have said that, like, yeah, it would have been, oh man, that would have been a great comeback. But maybe that's what makes us good improvers, is that we think about those things, and then we have ammunition for other situations.
Yeah.
Right? I don't know.
No, me
the next
neither.
Time you're in an airlock with a Martian.
Yeah. Yeah. Me and Nate will just be doing a scene in Schmimprov, and I'll just pull out the line that I was like, where the fuck did that come from?
Schmimcast. And I'm trying to think, have you done any other shows like in the Maverick or like anywhere else? Like,
no,
not really.
Not
now,
really.
I know you're a musician also. Like,
barely, but yeah.
But you were in a band, right?
Yeah, I was in a punk band for
how long? Like, when did it start out?
6 years. I started doing that a year before I joined Schmimprov. So that was 1929. I started doing that when I was 20 and pissed off about everything. But
sounds like 20.
Yeah, no. It was a really cool band. It was Homesick Abortions.
Yes.
A name my mother loves.
I'm sure. Every mother would love that name.
Yeah, no, and like the way I joined that band was very boring.
So was it together before you got involved with it?
Yeah, I was the last person to join. Okay. It was.
What did you do with the band?
I was the bassist.
The bassist. Nice.
But we had a girl guitar player, and I met her on an F- message board, which is a punk band that I was really big into at the time. And we started talking back and forth on that, and like it was as simple as I was playing, like I was fiddling with bass at my house, but I kind of dropped it, like I wasn't doing anything for a while. And then she was like, oh, I'm in a punk band, but we don't have a bassist. I play bass, you want to be in a band? Okay. I went to a rehearsal, met everyone, and they just never bothered to kick me out.
They just never got around to it.
Yeah, they just like, you know, they're just like, oh, we got a show,
should we go to Chipotle, should we Ryan out?
Yeah, let's go to Chipotle.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm too full to kick somebody out of a band now. It was really fun.
I can imagine being in it's a punk band, right? Being in that kind of band and like performing in front of an audience would be just totally liberating and fun.
It was scary as hell at first.
And what kind of places did you play? Like,
I mean, we would play like little shitholes and backyard parties, and then we would also play Hollywood, like stuff like the Key Club. And
So you've been around everywhere.
And we did some tours and stuff. And so, like, you know, we played. I remember we did a tour through Texas, like all over. That was really cool.
But what was scary? You said it was scary.
It was the first time I'd ever played an instrument in front of anyone.
Right, right.
And punk shows can be very unforgiving. if they don't like you.
Yeah, like, I can imagine.
And so, I mean, when I first joined that band, I was just like, I just want to play a show where there's a pit. And if I can do that, then I'll be fine. And then we, you know, started playing shows and there was a pit. And we started getting a decent following. And then we met up with a guy who was starting a label. And he signed us and put out a CD of ours. And we did some touring. And then we started playing with bands who I used to go see when I was 16, 17. And
that's cool.
It was like, it was really fun. You know, at some point I just started like really got too old to be playing like those shows and stuff. I remember being 18 going, oh, look at the 27-year-old in the corner. What the hell is he doing here? Get out of here, you old man. You know, and then I became that guy and stuff.
Yeah. Just throwing it out. Did you feel like it was just not going anywhere? Was that part of it? Or you just like just all the same thing over and over again? Or it just, like you said, you just kind of like felt like you were getting too old for this
I was just getting too old, but at the same time, I think punk music will kind of go through highs and lows.
Yeah.
Because when we first started off and doing really well, there was all these bands we'd play with. with. There's all these venues, and then all these venues started getting shut down because of the shows, and they just started disappearing, and then all the bands that we'd play with start disappearing. And then,
do you think it had anything to do with like the recession or anything like that? Or
oh no,
no,
this is just
it's just punk kind of like it's just, died out in the area, it's more or less. Or
like a lot of those, yeah, a lot of the venues, they, you know, they'll put on punk shows, and then, you know, they get all their microphones and PA systems broken because of them, and then they're like, oh fuck, now we have to buy a new one, and then they put on another show, and then like the furniture gets broken, you know, and like cops have to break it up, and they're like, oh fuck, there's more, and then they all these places eventually that's where actually the recession started.
Too many punk bands.
It's just all these punk bands just started like destroying these venues that were helping them out. It's like
it was great for a while for like the equipment distributors.
Yeah,
and
it's all about biting the hands that feed you. It's every show is just, you know, like venues are just one hair away from.
Did you guys destroy shit when you were there, or was it other bands?
No, we were pretty good. That's we did play a show once where there was a tiny riot because we played this show, and then they sprung up on us that it was 18 and up. And when I asked like, what are your reasons for making it 18 and up? It was because they're like, well, we have a bar, which doesn't make sense. I was like, we'll make it 21 and up. Oh, well, don't do that. Make it all ages, because everybody who's here to see us is under 18. But no one could get into the show. There was all these pissed off kids outside that they weren't letting in. Only maybe four people could get inside and stuff, and we're sitting there trying to play, and then they just started breaking stuff in that venue. And I think that's the last time that place ever had a punk show. It was just like, all, you know, they were just trying to break in and get in and stuff, and like break through doors. It was at that point we were all just trying to get our equipment out. I was like, don't break our shit, like we wanted to play for you guys.
Oh man, that's unfortunate.
Yeah No, I think if you see why I start yelling at the audience at Schmimprov and stuff, it comes from that.
There's a clip on YouTube also of you, for lack of a better word, skull fucking in that audience. Which I think came up during voting, or am I wrong?
It's for March Madness.
Okay, yeah,
it was,
yeah, yeah.
You know, I mean, for the applause meter part.
Oh yeah, so you're trying to get the audience riled up.
Yeah, I just my whole thing is like, if all else fails, fuck a dude in the head.
Now, when you do this, do you like pre-plan? Like, do you look out in the audience and try to find, okay, who do you think would be cool if I grabbed their head and started humping it? Like,
I mean,
slowly, but then more furiously.
I will like when I do that. For some reason, I'll just kind of walk through the audience, and there's no aisles, so I'm just standing on their chairs.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You're literally walk on the chairs to your target,
and then I just kind of walk around, and then I'll be like, oh, this guy's been here a bunch of times, you know. It's like, I probably wouldn't do that to somebody who, if it was their first time,
right,
but if I see somebody,
a familiar face,
we'll get these people who just come to every show, I'll be like, oh, they'll come back next week. And if they don't, I was like, well, do you know what, they've given us a bunch of money anyways, so.
And they had a hell of a good time getting
collected. Yeah, I think so. I think I'm probably the most surprised with what I can get away with.
Yeah, you're probably the most shocking, when it comes to that kind of stuff, which is great. I mean, it's nice to have a little bit of that kind of like outlandish shock factor.
I feel bad because some people, like younger kids and stuff who are trying to do improv at their high school, they'll come see our shows just to try to learn how to do improv.
Yeah.
They'll ask me advice, and I'll be like, oh, what's your advice? I was like, if you want to learn how to do improv, don't watch Schmimprov. There's like,
right. Yeah, yeah, that's probably the golden rule of improv. We break all of those golden rules.
Like, I mean any show I'm in or not, if I'm just watching or there, I'm like, yeah, it's funny, but at the same time I could probably point out 10 things that were technically wrong, and I'm guilty of breaking them all too. But
yeah,
I think it's just, I think we're able to do that just because we've been working together so long.
Yeah.
That we're just like, oh, well, we know how it's supposed to go.
People who do improv and say they are like Second City or UCB, stuff like that, they would probably say, oh, those guys, that's not improv. That's what they're doing.
Those are parlor tricks.
Right.
I think, I don't know if anybody knows who Matt Besser is, but I think he said short form improv is just parlor tricks, and for the most part, I do think he's right. But I just, at the same time, it's like Shmimprov's just really fun.
And yeah, I mean, that's the
there
thing.
Is, it's almost like a punk band when it comes to comedy, almost.
Right, right. We'd probably break all the rules that are supposedly in place and somehow get away with it with consistently tons of laughs. Like,
yeah, and,
you know,
I mean, we're able to do it enough to where we can maintain an audience every Friday and Saturday.
Yeah.
And I mean, and have full audiences. It's not like we're like, oh, let's play to 10 people on Friday and 12 on Saturday. It's like, I mean, we generally will need to turn a couple people away, which is a good problem to have. But yeah, no, it's great because, I mean, I've done improv other places. Like, I've taken classes at UCB, and I do feel the stuff I learned there has helped me out a lot with doing Shmimprov.
Yeah.
But, you know, when I do stuff there, I'm a lot more grounded. It's a weird, like, it's a very different type of improv.
I've thought about going and taking classes somewhere. Like, I think I need to do that at some point. But it would be very intimidating. I think at first, I've done tons of improv, and yet feel like I would be like, okay, oh, here's a whole new set of rules. Like, I'm just a newbie, and here we go.
You know, one of the things with improv you're supposed to do is, you know, support the other person in the team and or in the scene. And, you know, I mean, I say something, provide information, then you'll say something and add more information, and we're kind of almost like painting a picture together. But for some reason on Shmimprov, it's almost like we're sparring how funny we could be. It was like, oh, yeah, well, I could do this and it's funny. Oh, yeah, well, I could do this and it's funny.
Yeah.
And you shouldn't do that, but we should.
I know. But when it works, it's hilarious.
Yeah.
Like, I know what you mean, where it's like, I'm going to say something and it's going to be even funnier than what you just said.
Yeah. That is something you shouldn't do.
It's great.
If you want to learn like what you shouldn't do, you should watch Shmimprov.
Come every Friday and Saturday night at 11 p.m. at the Maverick Theater. That's right. I'm trying to think if I missed anything. Is there anything else that like you want to like bring up or talk about? Or
I'm still like, very disappointed in this diet caffeine-free Dr. Pepper.
I tried to warn you. I was like, it doesn't even have caffeine. Yeah. Like, there's no point to it. Like, I mean, even the Diet Coke, I only drink it because it's like has no calories and it has caffeine at least.
Yeah,
like,
no, it, yeah, no.
It, but that, you know, doesn't have caffeine in it.
It tastes like if you were to take a regular Dr. Pepper, open it up, a can, not take a sip of it at all, just put it back in the refrigerator for 3 weeks, and then take it back out, and it's just lost all of its carbonation and flavor, and that's, I think that's how they make diet caffeine-free Dr. Pepper.
Yeah.
It's like they just take regular Dr. Pepper and just leave it in the sun for a month.
Well, we're not going to get any sponsorship from those people.
No, let's like... Yeah. No, I love regular Dr. Pepper. I think that's why I'm very let down. It's like, I mean, right now I'm, you know, that kid who is a big Star Wars fan who was waiting for Star Wars Episode 1 like all year, counting down the days, and then I watched it and I was like, "Oh,
what is this?
Oh. Anakin, I hate you." I'm glad you grow up to be Darth Vader and die.
Yeah. How could the most badass bad guy in the entire, like, history of movies be such a douche?
Yeah.
This doesn't make any sense. I'm curious, are you involved with the sketch show at all?
Yeah.
Okay, so let's talk about it just real briefly. I mean, I just think I'd bring it up because...
Shmimprov is trying to put together a night of sketch comedy.
Yeah.
I mean, this is something we've tried to do for a few years now, but...
And we haven't... I thought we talked about it. Maybe it never happened.
I think the thing that's great about being on Shmimprov but is kind of difficult when trying to put together a sketch night is Shmimprov does not take up a lot of your personal time. We almost never see each other outside of shows.
Yeah.
I mean, the only rehearsing we do is like an hour before the show starts.
Probably March Madness is the closest to anything like that where we have to at least partner up. And like the March Madness intros are the closest thing to sketch, I would say, that we ever do.
And even then, it's like, you know, I mean, it's a little off because, I mean, everybody's trying to create some sort of theme, and there's a lot of inside jokes that'll happen in the March Madness where, you know, you might, you know, name drop other people in your scenes and stuff.
If somebody outside saw it, they'd be like, what?
Yeah.
I really liked your and Ryan's intro this year, by the way, the video. Yeah. It was nice because it was all visual. There was no dialogue at all, and they did a video intro.
I'd say, like, we should play a clip of it, but it really is just...
We'll play a clip.
It's just a song. You know what? Let's just play play the song by the band who, you know.
But I'll put it up on the website with the episode when I post it. So
sweet.
You can check it out.
I wonder what it looks like. I've never seen it. But we're trying to do a sketch night. But the thing is, that's really hard is everybody's kind of got their own schedules. And it's like, I mean, there's a lot of people who are like, oh, I could do it, but I just can't do it. Right now, we're just trying to get enough stuff written have it ready to go. Because, you know, the thing that we need to do with sketches rather than just improv is, I mean, we need to rehearse.
Yeah,
you know,
it's a good idea.
I mean, because, I mean, a lot of the stuff that's funny in improv wouldn't go over well if it was something that was written.
Right, I think. And I feel like, too, you kind of have to develop a sketch unless the writing is amazing off the bat, but sometimes just in putting it up and rehearsing it, a lot of more funny shit actually comes up about it, you know.
So yeah, no, we did last week. It's just we're just
it's you and David, right? Writing most of this stuff.
Me and Dave, Donish and AJ and Jason are all
awesome.
Kind of, it was funny, I wrote an email out to everybody
and
for some reason no one got it, so I was kind of like pissed at everyone.
No, I think what it is everybody's tired of emails. Like, there's too many emails going on. And then, I talked to Patrick about it once, and he was like, oh, there's too many emails in improv, shmimprov. Like, I'm just ignore. I delete. The second I get an email, I just delete it. So I don't think it's you. Okay. I think it's just, I don't think everybody's like Patrick where they delete them.
Yeah.
Like, I at least read it and I like, that's really a good idea. I think it's a good idea. Like, and I didn't jump on board because I've like been kind of busy, but Dave was even like, are you like interested in being in it? And I was like, oh, sure. Of course. Like, yeah. I would totally jump into that. So,
But it was funny because
no one responded.
What? No one responded. And the only reason Dave got on board was because I talked to Nate about it first. I was like, hey, can I try to put something together? I was like, hey, if you want. So I emailed everyone, didn't get one response.
Right.
And then I was just talking to Nate, and I was like, Nate, do you know what? I'm just going to try to write a bunch of stuff by myself, and if I've got enough stuff to, like, make something happen, then we could do that. And Dave just happened to be walking by, and he was like, what are you trying to do? I was like, a sketch night? And he was like, I would love to do that.
So Dave deleted your email also.
Yeah, probably. He was like, I never got an email and stuff. So then it was me and Dave, and then we were trying to, you know, write stuff out, and then Dave posted something on his Facebook about a sketch night, and then everybody else on Shmimprov was like, wait, what? You know,
that's,
and everybody's
so
like,
funny.
I want to do a sketch night. Why wasn't I included? And then, like, I was secretly, like, kind of upset and mad with everyone. I was like,
you won't read my email, but you'll look at Dave's Facebook?
Yeah, no, I was just, you know, I was just like, oh, am I going to have to do all this shit by myself?
And
so then, you know, more people started jumping on board. We're trying to figure out where to go from there.
Well, that's great, man. I think it's going to be a fun night. Like, I mean, it sounds awesome. And me being the kind of wannabe writer, I was like, oh, I kind of want to be part of it, and I want to join in. And then I was like, oh, I have, like, so much other shit I'm doing right now. Like, I don't know how I could possibly do it, you know?
You know, yeah, no, it's like, the more the merrier.
If you guys have, like, anything I can be in, I'm all for it.
Sweet.
Yeah, this is going to be sweet sketch comedy.
We're just all going to end in fucking. what?
That?
I don't know.
What was the insane voice you were doing, the sexy voice you were doing for the intro?
Did you record that, or I don't know?
Yeah, it's recorded.
It's like, oh, let me get a piece of paper.
You can read it.
For some reason, it's the words that bring it out of me. I was like, you were listening to Shmimprov, a behind-the-scenes look at improv. Was it that? I feel like it was...
It was pretty close.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's sexy Ryan.
Oh, you gotta go watch improv. I'm sucking a dick. What? I don't know.
This is how we get our audience in.
This is just what I do by myself in my room. I just look in the mirror and just go, oh, Ryan, look at those eyes. Feel those titties. Yeah, you've got tits now. Too much Chipotle.
And then your dad's like, hey, Ryan, Jose Canseco's here. Come on.
Yeah. Yeah, no, yeah.
Your dad knows Jose Canseco. It's crazy, man.
It is weird.
We have to credit, because you have brought him twice to Improv Schmidt.
Was it twice? Okay.
I
don't know. It's weird.
You said your dad's a big baseball fan, right?
Yeah, he plays baseball on a a men's senior baseball league. It's for guys who are over 35.
Right.
Jose Canseco got kind of blacklisted from
baseball. Yeah. Right.
So now he hangs out with my dad.
He did?
Yeah,
see, that's how little I know about baseball.
Yeah, he.
We don't have to go into that.
Yeah,
I,
no, he no, wrote a book.
I'm kidding. the infamous book.
And a lot of people.
A lot of people off.
It did piss a lot of people off. So now he hangs out with my dad.
But you have him over for dinner sometimes, right?
When I see my dad or something, I don't see him all the time, but when I see him, I'll just be hanging out. And he's like, we should see if Jose Canseco could come over or something. I was like, it's weird. I was like, does he have to be everywhere? I don't know.
It's like, don't you want to hang out with me, Dad? Sometimes?
Yeah, you know, I don't know. And so,
it'd be better if Jose Canseco was here.
Yeah, he's just like, let me see if Jose Canseco wants to go to your bar mitzvah. Dad, why am I? I'm not 13 or Jewish. Why am I having a bar mitzvah? He's like, I don't know. Jose Canseco thought it would be fun. I don't. So it's like, yeah, they are just like, I just imagine when I'm not around, they're just like, you know, sharing ice cream cones and just, you know, being all like
doing walks in the park.
Yeah. I just imagine that Brady Bunch song. Like, I think I'm going to walk outside. It's just always playing when they're hanging out. Like, it's just every day they're together. It's just a beautiful summer day and just they wear matching dresses. I don't know.
That's awesome, man.
I'm probably going to get a weird phone call.
It makes for a funny conversation, though. Like, I mean, when I was there the night he was there at Schmimprov, and I was like, what? He's here? Like, and I was like, why? How? Who? Where? When? You know, and then, like, I found out it was sort of connected through you, and then, like, you told me the story, and the way you explain it is just hilarious.
It is. Like, it's absurd, because I'm not a big sports person either.
Right, right, right.
So I'm like,
absolutely no, like, connection to it at all.
You know, I mean, if I had a friend who was like, oh, my dad knows Jose Canseco, I'd be like, whatever. So, you know.
And for me, there's a slight connection because I did collect baseball cards when I was a kid, and I still have the Jose Canseco rookie card.
Oh, you should get it signed.
Yeah, yeah. So,
you know, he said he really enjoyed Schmimprov.
That's great.
And
that's great.
He wants to be in it.
Does he want to do Schmimprov?
He wants to do something.
I was like bummed because I was like, why? Oh, that would be cool to have him at least be the applause meter.
I told Drew, I was like, call him out. I think Drew was scared.
I think
Drew
so.
Was scared. He's he was a little like, what's tiny, this guy scared man.
Well, Drew is very tiny, and Jose Canseco is a very large man.
Yeah, he's just Drew is like the size of one of his steroid shrunken testicles.
Oh no, oh, you God. Did not say that.
I
oh
can't,
my goodness.
I can't show this to my family now. I can show it to my mom's side. They'll love it.
I can cut that part out if you want.
No, let's see what happens.
Let's see what happens. You know. Let's stir the shit.
Yeah, let's see what happens. That's going to make 4th of July weird for me. Yeah, but you know, he would want to do something.
He was on a TV show like while this happened. Like, wasn't he on The Apprentice or something like that?
I don't know. I don't follow sports.
I don't either, so I just hear things.
Like, the only thing I really knew about him was in the first Ninja Turtles movie, Raphael at one point goes, oh, Jose Canseco bat! Tell me, you didn't pay money for this. That's, like, really all I knew
really?
Him from.
He was the shit, though, in his day. Like, I mean, when I was a teen, actually, I feel like I was a preteen, like, around 12 or something. Everyone was like, Jose Canseco, he's, like, the best baseball player. And I lived up in Northern California, so the A's were close and everything, and, like, he was the talk of the town when it came to baseball.
Yeah, I don't know. I never watched The Apprentice. So.
Is there more shit you want to talk about? What else we got, Ryan?
Who, like, should we talk shit about other people on Schmimprov?
Who should we talk shit about?
I feel like we should talk shit about,
preferably someone who doesn't listen to the show. That way they'll never know. Sebastian. We don't have to talk shit about shit, but were you friends with Sebastian
before?
Oh,
yeah, Seb.
Let's talk about him. I mean, we don't have to talk shit, but whatever works.
Like,
but Sebastian has got to be one of the, like, most out there persons I've ever met in my life.
He was all, when I first met Sebastian, I hated Sebastian.
Did you really?
We met in high school.
Were you just like,
we went to high school
you're
together.
Too crazy.
He
like,
was just
blowing my mind.
He's just who he is.
Yeah.
Like, and when you don't know who he is exactly, you're like, who the fuck is this fucker and stuff. he would, like, I don't know. I think
you met him in high school.
Yeah, we went to high school together, and he was somebody who got on, like, everyone's nerves at first because he talks to everybody like he knew them for 10 years.
Oh, that's
or
awkward.
Something. And so he'll tell jokes like you're on the inside of this inside joke that you know nothing about.
That's
but once
awkward.
You get used to him, he's like hilarious. Like,
he's like funny without even having to try to be funny. Like, he doesn't, it's just his personality.
Yeah, he's just got this weird personality.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, we used to do improv in high school, and then he got got on to Shmimprov, and I don't think he ever really did any improv when being in Shmimprov.
He was just,
I think he's just like,
there.
What is going on?
He just showed up.
Yeah. He's just like, am I in a scene?
And he went through the whole improv idol thing.
Yeah,
and everything,
I don't,
and made
like, that says
and,
something about the audience. No, I'm just kidding. But like, oh God, he, like, he would do like crazy shit. Like, yeah, when we were young. This is a story I love telling people.
Yeah.
Was one year he was a mall Santa.
Oh no, he
was like, God, a last minute replacement for the original Santa. I forget why, but when he was a mall Santa, for some reason, yeah, like, I mean, everybody's typical impression of Santa was like, ho ho ho, Merry yeah Christmas. For some reason he wanted to be like, well,
oh,
what would you like for Christmas, little boy?
Oh, no.
And like, and he would just tell me all these stories, and I was like, oh my God, you're just like scaring kids. And like, he would just make up all these like insane stories where, like, I remember he told me the story about this one kid where we used to live. They would used to drive a sleigh with a Santa up and down neighborhood blocks on the back of a flatbed truck,
mm-hmm,
and kids could come out and see Santa like he's an ice cream man or something, you know.
And he did this?
No, he didn't do this.
Oh, he talked about it.
But there was a kid who came up to him and was like, you were supposed to come down my street yesterday, and you didn't. What happened? And he just goes, well, I was going to go down your street, but what happened was one of the elves got caught in the machine.
Oh, geez.
And she's like, what? And he goes, oh, but don't worry. It was a chocolate machine, so we all had a very good time. And stuff, and then, like, you know, and then he would give out fake antlers to all the kids, like Burger King crowns, but like, I mean, instead of candy canes, they would get fake antlers to wear and stuff, and just be like, in case one of my reindeer gets sick, could I depend on you to replace him? And I was just like, oh my, it's like, I mean, that's like To Catch a Predator type shit, like,
yeah.
Yeah. I do remember, like, him and a couple of our other mutual friends, mm-hmm, who were in on it, got all the other friends in our circle of friends who weren't in on it. He gathered us all up at an In-N-Out, right?
Yeah.
And then, like, him and the other people, like, made this whole bullshit award ceremony and, like, gave out awards to everybody who was not in on it, and gave envelopes to everyone with a prize in them, right? And then had us all open them up in unison. And when we looked, it was a picture of Sebastian naked in front of all of our houses.
Oh,
at night. Like,
God,
they drove around everywhere and, like, late at night, got into, like, our front yards or on our front porches. He was, like, butt-ass naked, like, covering himself.
Yeah.
And had a friend take pictures of him naked in front of all of our house. I wish I still had my picture because,
yeah,
he said he wanted to run for president in 2040. And the picture I have of him is naked, wrapped in the American flag in my front yard.
Why wait? That's the funniest thing. He's like, I want to run for president in 2040.
Yeah.
Like, why wait till 2040?
The world's going to be over by then. So, yeah, no, that's like,
oh,
he's,
God.
But he's doing stuff in Seattle now. I think he does,
music.
Yeah, he
right?
does music and stuff up there. And he's trying to raise money for,
a tour,
a bus stage.
He wants to do a musical, a magic mystery musical bus.
It's pretty out there, but if somebody could pull it off, it's probably Sebastian. Like,
I mean,
he was homeless and toured Europe. I don't know how he did that, but, he does TuesdayTunes.com. I hope I'm plugging these right, Sebastian.
Yeah.
Do you know what? Better yet, just go to Facebook, Shmimprov's Facebook, find Sebastian Clark on there, and then ask him, hey, where can I hear your shit? He's trying to write a song for every day, or every Tuesday for an entire year, and posting it online.
So but he'll post like an MP3 or something?
Yeah,
online.
It's. Yeah. But I think it's called TuesdayTunes.com. From there, you could probably find other links to his other stuff. There you go, Sebastian.
And I know he wants to mail me something in the mail. I keep getting this email from him on Facebook saying that I have something special for you. Give me your address.
And yeah, it's probably a picture of him naked in your front yard.
Shmimcast. Do you have anything coming up for yourself? I assume you're going to do Night of the Living Dead again this year.
If you can, right?
Because I know you have to work around
your
work schedule.
Yeah, I've got, like, and also my sister's getting married one of those weekends.
Oh, wow.
If I do it, they're going to need to find somebody to fill in for me.
Can I be Johnny?
Yeah, sure.
It'll be weird, fat, like, Johnny.
Who
and then I'll come
in the news
on the
reporter
TV.
Later. Yeah.
and also gets killed again at the end.
Have you ever really watched that video you're in?
Yeah, I've seen it.
You know how you're interviewing Ernie?
Yes.
And then, like, he's walking away at the end? If you just follow Ernie, just watch Ernie, like, for the rest of the time before it gets shut off. At some point, he's walking away, and then he just drops all of, like, he just drops his folders.
Are
in the background,
serious?
And like it'll just have to like pick him up. Yeah, this is all happening like 30 feet behind you. It's like way in the background,
so
but he's
weird.
Walking. He just drops something, bends over to pick him up.
Man,
I just noticed that once, and that's all I see now.
You're just like, what is Ernie doing
in
the background? It's way more interesting than this guy in the foreground.
So, yeah, well, you know, I mean, when you see something like hundreds of times, you just start looking for the little things. Like, I'll go and like watch all the stuff on the Shmimprov website and like the YouTube thing. And after I've watched like stuff I was in a bunch of times, then I just like watch the faces of the people who are not in the scene, just sitting in the back and seeing how they respond to everything.
Right, right, right.
Then it's funny for a different reason because,
right, right.
You know, somebody's yawning. I don't know.
No, I totally know what you mean. I remember one night I was filming Shmimprov, which we do. We basically film scenes so we can put them up on the YouTube and the website. Enrique and I were back there. He was actually filming and I was like, look at Dave right now. Like he wasn't in the scene or anything, but he was looking off into the distance. And like completely disengaged with what it was, he looked so bored, with what was going on. And I was like, and Enrique's, oh, that's funny. So he just zoomed in on Dave staring out into space.
It just got none of the scene,
pretty much. Yeah,
good for him. that just happened. Have you seen that video of Jamie throwing up from all the Mountain Dew?
No, but that has to be pretty awesome.
Yeah, it's like, I mean,
I was there and I saw
like
it.
A geyser.
That was amazing.
I watched that a couple times. Enrique becomes like a happy little kid watching this happen and
does this
weird little cowboy dance like from watching Jamie throw up. That's really what I laugh at, is like just this happy little
reaction.
Like it's like he's just this like a little leprechaun who found his gold. Like,
right.
That's Enrique's dance. It's like weird.
All right, man. Well, do you want to talk smack on anyone else, or let's see. Who could we talk shit on?
Yeah, who could we talk shit on?
Let's talk shit on Amber.
Yeah.
What the fuck is wrong with
that? No, she's a bitch. Every time, like, I'm always like, oh, let me feel them titties. And she goes, no, Ryan. And I'm like, you know what? Fuck you. If I'm ever on a radio show, I'm going to talk shit about you and those precious titties of yours.
Poor Amber.
Hi, Amber. Amber, I actually feel bad for Amber a lot because she really just...
She's not comfortable with any kind of sexual anything.
And she's just around a bunch of fucked up guys
who know
this about her. And it really just has to, like, take it. And she takes it well as one could. But, I mean, I feel like she has to die a little in every show she's in. Like, just on the inside. Yeah. She's just...
And you can just see it. The second
just sucks the life out of her.
Second something sexual comes up, it's like she just shrinks.
Yeah.
And is like, oh, I'm not here.
Yeah. And just, you know, I mean, at the same time, it's just like, I don't know what it is, but everybody gets this compelled feeling to just... yell at her. and it's funny because she's like very little girly, but I feel like out of anyone on Shmimprov, I think we have the most similar taste in music, which is very surprising. Like, she's pretty hardcore, or a lot more hardcore than one would think Amber was.
Yeah.
When it comes to music,
from Curtis, she can like hold her liquor really well, which I was like, oh, what?
Dude,
I didn't know that about Amber.
Every time we hang out, she's always starting bar fights. Oh, I just improv'd that part. But wouldn't that be tight to see her just like beat the shit out of three guys? You know what, Amber, like, next time we're in a scene like and people are giving you shit, you should just like beat the shit and don't like pretend to hit them, just like whip them, just like
fucking beat the shit out of them, because guys are not gonna fight back because you're a girl.
Yeah. And you know what, probably everybody on
except maybe
has
Nate.
Deserved it.
For one thing or another.
Yeah,
I'm sure we're such assholes anyway, too, especially to her. Yeah, the longer you've been on Shmimprov as a girl, I think the more bitter you get.
Yeah, I think that's like the rule of thumb for anyone.
Yeah. But especially women.
Yeah.
The men can handle it. Most of the guys stay around, but like the girls come and go.
Yeah. It's another really weird thing about Shmimprov is like how eager we are all to just have gay sex. on stage. Because I tell people, I was like, yeah, we'll just like, I mean, we're just looking for reasons to fuck each other on stage. And then, you know, when we're outside anywhere and like we're both, two of us are sitting on a couch and our knees touch, we're right. like, whoa, 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 that's yeah. pretty oh, gay. Yeah, it's yeah. like this weird, like, we're mm-hmm. really reserved. And it's like, I don't know, sometimes the audience doesn't really, like, I had a guy one time after a show, like, come up from behind me, put his arms around me and start like undoing my belt. And I'm like, what the fuck is wrong with, you know,
there's
you.
Some yeah there's it's some weird audience members sometimes, you know. I'm like, I mean, I'm very happy to talk to people after a show yeah. and before a show, like, no problem, but like, you get a gamut of people, and you know, some people are just strange. Sometimes I'm like, oh, whoa, I don't really actually know you, like,
yeah, the crap, like, don't... you see up there is not who I am.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Here's a question I have for you. Have you ever been recognized outside of
outside
the
of
Maverick
Improv?
Yeah, like, for it.
I know Curtis talked about that. Like, I haven't really. It's weird. I haven't got, like, the of someone actually saying, oh, you're on Improv from Improv. But sometimes I'll run across people as doing whatever, like, going out to Starbucks or whatever. And they look at me. And I'm like, oh, like, I don't know you. Like, why are you staring at me? Like... Either they think I look like someone they know, or maybe they've seen Shmimprov, or they've seen a video online, or something like that. I don't know. Yeah. I mean, I assume you have.
It's happened. It actually, like, yeah. it, for a long time, it really didn't happen to me, because I was living in Redondo Beach, and then Long Beach for a long time, so I wasn't really out in Orange County. In Long Beach, it happened to me once.
Yeah, yeah.
Which was really weird.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I was just outside a record store, I was driving by, and there was, like, these three people who were just looking at me weird, and I was
yeah.
like, the fuck are you guys looking at?
Right,
you
know? Right.
And then
I've gotten that.
Yeah, and then I walked by them, and they all looked at me like they were whispering, and then saw me, and then stopped.
Uh-huh.
You know, and I was like, the hell are these people? Like, what the hell's wrong? And then, like, I went into the store, I was, like, looking at records and stuff, and then, like, eventually one of them came up to me and was like, hey, are you on Shmimprov? And I was like, oh, yes. Okay.
Like,
yeah.
You're not jump coming here to kill me.
Yeah, so, you know, so then I was like, and they're like, oh, yeah, we saw you, and it was funny and stuff. But, you know, now that I've moved out here, it has happened a couple. I went That's into cool. like In-N-Out once,
mm-hmm.
and the guy who was, it actually came up behind me, he took my order, and I was like, oh, you know, grabbing his food. He's like, you're a funny man. And I was like, well, that can't mean anything. I hope that meant, like, you know, unless he didn't like the way I looked.
Right.
I was cross-eyed, so, but I was at a movie theater once, and there was, like, a kid scared to take my tickets because of it. And I was like, I'm nice to a degree.
I'm just Ryan Clark. You know.
So, yeah. But I do, like, you know, it's kind of, I do pat myself on the back a little. Like, I was like, ha-ha-ha.
I'm famous.
In my world, I am, you know.
No, it's totally cool. Like,
big fish, small pond, it's great.
It's funny. Like, I mean, I remember, like, in college, when I did a lot of plays in college, and I lived near the college, obviously, but some people would come up to me and, oh, you were in that show, weren't you? And I was like, yeah. I was like, oh, you were great. You know, like, that was really gratifying. Like, it was just like, I don't know this person at all, and yet they're, like, liked it enough to say something and be like, you know. So, I don't get out that much, though, so that maybe, I don't know.
You took, like, a big, long break.
Yeah,
too, right?
Yeah,
like,
that's true, I definitely have been off the show for quite a long time. Like, you know, I do shows here and there, maybe, but definitely
I'm trying,
like,
to get back into it.
Yeah, of course. But it's like every time I do a show, then I have, or a play, let's say a play or a musical or something, then it's like, I can't do a show because I can't go to rehearsal. That, yeah. And luckily, last week I got to play, which was really fun.
Oh, that's cool.
Even though I had to be in The Count of Monte Cristo at the same time.
How's that? I want to see that. I haven't seen it yet. I want to see it.
It's a fantastic show. Like, everyone's telling me, like, I mean, I love it. Everyone that's seen it has been raving about it. Yeah. So it's so funny. Let me tell you. No, it's not a comedy by any means, but it's just got some great actors in it, and it's really well directed, and the, you know, the pace moves really fast, and it's well written. It's a really interesting story, I think, and, you know, what else can you ask for?
Yeah, no, I've heard great things. Do you know what I think the Mavericks should do? What play they should do? I talked to Brian about it, and he's really against it for some reason. is A Clockwork Orange.
Oh.
I think, like, and I, everybody who else I've talked to that about has been like, oh, that would be so cool to see.
Right.
But I mentioned it to Brian. He's like, oh, I don't know, and stuff. And, you know,
with
he doesn't want to do it.
And or, I mean, that's based on a book, right?
Yeah, it is based on, but there is a script out there.
There's a play?
It's been a stage play before.
Oh.
And which is why I said, like, oh, that'd be great, because, you know, it's already out there.
That would be pretty dope,
It wouldn't
actually.
Have to be, and I was like, oh, that would be, like, a really cool show to see.
It's it's an iconic movie and well known. I mean, I don't,
yeah, but,
I mean, it definitely, and it has the violent tint to it. Like, I mean, maybe he just thinks it's too dark or
I think he just thinks it's like it could be too violent and like it would probably shun away a lot of regular theater goers.
But I mean,
but I also think like it would bring in a lot of other people who would never go see a play otherwise. Yeah.
That's a cool idea, man. I like that because,
you know, let's start a petition. Let's just like, if we could get like a certain number, we'll just say 1,000.
Yeah.
If we could get 1,000 people to like sign a petition to say, let's see, do Clockwork Orange.
Then you'll we'll take do your it shirt and off and I'll do with paintball a paintball gun.
That's my magic number. That's the number where I become masochistic.
That's cool, though. Like, I mean, I've written a couple things, and, like, the stuff I've written is more dark, like, you know, for whatever reason, who knows, whatever demons I have to deal with, but, like, I mean, it's kind of more along that lines, the darker side. Like, Clockwork Orange is obviously a famous movie, people know it, you know, it's a cult movie in a lot of ways. I mean, I think that would draw a lot of people, so it's not a bad idea, man.
So, Brian, what the fuck? I'm sure he's listening to this.
Yes, of course.
Well, let's check out that podcast. Ryan Clark's on it. Let's see what's going on in Schmimprov.
I heard he's friends with Jose Canseco.
I think those are two very inaccurate.
Yeah, Clockwork Orange. We'll talk about it.
Okay.
I might be behind that. That sounds kind of cool. It's been a while since I've seen the movie.
Yeah.
But I could see doing some kind of like bare bones production of it. Is your phone vibrating on your balls again?
Not my balls, but... my hip.
That's Jose Canseco, isn't it?
Yeah, just going, he's like, what'd you say about my testicles?
All right, man. Well, you know what? If we keep going, this is going to take me years to edit now.
Okay. So we'll end it on the balls.
Let's end it on the balls. So, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening to Schmimcast. You can, of course, come and see Improv Schmimprov every Friday and Saturday night at 11 o'clock p.m. It's only $5 at the Maverick Theater.
Or less or more.
Or less or more. If you roll the dice, you might pay nothing. The first Saturday of every month, we have the All Puppet Players Show. It's Improv Schmimprov players playing against puppets. The people who do the puppets are actually trained puppeteers.
And some of them are on Schmimprov. They're puppets that were brought to life by magic.
Actually, the puppets won the last show. They were so damn funny. They beat our March Madness winners.
Yeah, so what's that say about me? I was out first.
So was I. They're very fun shows. What we're doing in May is every Friday night we have a host choice show where the host picks all the games and there's a kind of host-centric thing. So, I get to do it on the 27th is my host show. And my idea right now is to turn that show into a podcast. So it's going to be kind of different because the improvers are going to have to hold microphones.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, yeah. So, and all the games are going to kind of have to be more oriented on the verbal than the physical.
Okay.
So, well, Ryan, I'm sorry.
No. Yeah, so, yeah.
You're out. Totally out.
You know what? I'll figure out a way to fall down.
And make everyone hear it.
And just, whoop! Whop, 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 whop! How was that?
That works! Oh, you're so in now. That's my idea right now. We'll see. I haven't posed it to everyone, so I don't know if it's going to happen. But you should come that night because it's going to be a lot of fun. And I think during the summer we're doing like an A through Z thing, marathon, something like that.
There's something.
We're playing through all our games A through Z, basically. So starting with A, like alphabet is one a game, maybe.
Yeah,
something like that.
So that might be a good idea. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah.
I think like right now we're just like almost just bored with regular shows.
Yeah, I mean, it's good to throw a bunch of variety in there. Like, I love the host idea thing. I think it's fun. I mean, fun.
Yeah, and then we've got Sketch Night happening someday.
All right, so look forward to the sketch comedy show. Yeah. And we'll plug it on another episode here.
It'll happen someday, maybe.
Exactly. And you can come and check out The Count of Monte Cristo, which was directed by Schmimprov's own Nathan McCarrick.
Yeah.
And starring Schmimprov's own David Chorley.
Yeah.
Among other people.
And you. Right?
And I'm a huge part of that show.
Are you?
Let me tell you. You just have to come and see it.
Okay.
It's so immense and breathtaking that you can't put it into words.
Anyway, it's just you and Dave.
It's the Nick and Dave show.
The Nick and Dave show.
Might as well just be called the Count of Nick and Dave show.
The Count of Nick and Dave show.
You would be surprised the kind of stuff that we pull off at the Maverick. And that plays through May 21st. Then Chicago opens on May 27th. That plays all the way through the end of July. And then we're doing Get Smart on stage, which should be hilarious.
Ooh, la 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 la.
Yeah, Ryan's all into that. And then after that, it's Night of the Living Dead, starring Ryan Clark.
But probably.
Probably.
Starring, yeah. Yeah, I hope you make it for the first 30 seconds, because that's where I will
be. It's the best 30 seconds of the show, though. You gotta remember that. And then after that, we have Santa Claus Conquers the Martians, and that's there's a bunch of Schmimprov people in that.
Yeah, that's like all Schmimprov.
Pretty much.
So maybe I'll be able to like do a sub again for that, because that was a really fun show.
Yeah.
So, and in 2011, A Clockwork Orange.
Yes, starting off 2012, maybe.
No, in 2000, I don't know. It's the same night as Sketch Night.
Oh, fuck it. Let's do Schmimprov Presents A Clockwork Orange. Because Schmimprov has done shows before, right?
Sure, yeah. Have we? Yeah. Where was that?
Yeah, we did Wieners and Boobs.
Oh, was that? That was such a funny show.
That was rare.
Was that a Schmimprov Presents?
Yeah, it was. It was Improv Schmimprov Presents.
I feel like if they were to do Sex, a.k.a. Wieners and Boobs, if they were to do it again, it would probably have a lot better response.
Well, yeah.
Our audience has grown a lot since then.
All right. And then after A Clockwork Orange, I don't know what happens.
We're going to be doing Waterworld.
Waterworld on stage.
On ice.
Oh shit. And then we're gonna start doing the Harry Potter books 1 through 10.
1 through 15. We're writing more books.
The next 8 are gonna be
So yeah, we're gonna assign a Schmimprover to write a new book each one.
Can we get Sebastian to write?
Oh yeah, he's already on it. That's why I moved up to Seattle.
That's right. He needs some alone time.
Yeah, he's just like really focused. I need to be Harry Potter. So let's go live where Twilight is.
But
I don't know.
But in his version, Harry Potter has a really big top hat, an Abe Lincoln hat.
Yeah, and lives in a van
and walks around naked.
Yes, in front of your house.
All right. Hey, that's Schmimcast. Thank you, Ryan.
Yeah, thank you, man.
This was great. I hope you had fun.
This soda sucked.
I'm sorry. I'll get you another soda, I promise.
Good.
Yeah.
That's why I do it.
That's how I get the Schmimprovers to come here. Free soda.
Nice.
All right. This is Schmimcast. Peace.
Fuck off.
Thank you for listening to Schmimcast. Remember, for the latest episodes of Schmimcast, please visit www.schmimcast.com. You can email us at schmimcast@aol.com and hit us up on Twitter at Schmimcast. It's SHMIMCAST. That's twitter.com/schmimcast. And now,
I wanna fuck you in the ass. And now this show must go, so the show is over. Sure. Is full an emotion? Because I feel pretty full.